This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
As we are just 1 week away from Halloween, we've got a peculiar story to tell you. So, cue the creepy music. The year was 1984. A man named Chris Van Allsburg, slender, snow-white beard, twinkle in his eye, had a friend who was a publisher of children's books. One day, his friend invited him to his house.
And so I went with him to his house, and he had these 14 drawings, very peculiar, very compelling, provocative.
Peculiar? Provocative? In fact, they looked very much like drawings Mr. Van Allsburg himself might have made. Chris Van Allsburg is the Caldecott-winning author and illustrator of some of the most famous children's books in America, including The Polar Express and Jumanji. Anyway, where were we? Oh, yes. The spooky drawings. They were made by a man named Harris Burdick.
What the drawings had on them was the title from the story from which they came and the caption from the part of the story that they connected to.
Drawings like Mr. Linden's Library, that's a picture of a child asleep with an open book on the bed, and from that open book, spindly vines grow and creep across the child's arm. And the caption says, "He had warned her about the book. Now it was too late." Mr. Van Allsburg's friend was amazed by the drawings, so he told Harris Burdick,
"Please, by all means, come back tomorrow and bring the remainder of your work so we can evaluate it more fully." Burdick went off. He left the 14 drawings behind.
And
he never returned.
Well, that's the yarn that Chris Van Allsburg spins. It may be true, or it may not be. He won't say. The twinkle in his eye just gets brighter when you ask. What we do know is that in 1984, Mr. Van Allsburg put the spooky drawings and creepy captions together into a book titled The Mysteries of Harris Burdick. And because the 14 illustrations were orphans, because they have no official story with them,
you feel compelled to figure out what the story was. They catalyze each other in a way that triggers the imagination and triggers it in a way that teachers have found really useful in classrooms. Because as I say, over the years, thousands of stories have arrived at my door.
And some of those stories are written by very famous authors. Stephen King penned his short story, The House on Maple Street, after seeing one of Van Allsburg's, Harris Burdick's drawings. And that story is just one that appears in the new book, The Chronicles of Harris Burdick. 14 amazing authors tell the tales. Among them, Sherman Alexie, Lois Lowry, Cory Doctorow, Jules Pfeiffer, and M.T. Anderson. So, we have arrived at the part of this story where we find ourselves in a radio studio with Chris Van Allsburg and M.T. Anderson. And Mr. Anderson tells us when the drawings of Harris Burdick first cast their spell on him.
Well, I was a teenager, actually, and I bought the book as a present for my little sister, and I was completely wowed by this book. It to me had two contrary things going for it, one of which was that the mysteries did in some way suggest a solution. You know, if you can just study the picture hard enough, you'll figure out what the story's about. And yet at the same time, they suggested that there was no solution. There can be, in a sense, no final story that will ever truly fulfill one of these illustrations.
Did that stick with you in any way as you became a writer of your own?
Absolutely. I was a big fan also at that age of things like Edward Gorey, who uses some of the same absurd techniques, although I think one of the things that's really beautiful about Chris's book is that the photorealism in some senses of the illustrations makes them even more haunting. Because the absurd elements, like a house taking off or a nun floating on a chair in a French cathedral, that kind of thing.
Or a cruise ship being sucked into a Venetian canal.
Exactly. In a sense, the absurdism of what's being drawn, it's complemented by the sharpness of realistic detail, too.
Did you get to choose which story, which mystery you were going to, quote-unquote, solve?
We were given a few choices, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you ended up choosing the illustration that's titled Just Dessert.
That's correct.
Why did you choose that one?
It's a very powerful image. So the image is of a woman with a knife touching the knife to a pumpkin, and the pumpkin is glowing. And the caption says, "She lowered the knife, and it grew even brighter." And I think that part of what I loved about it actually was the odd play on words with just dessert, with the fact that, you know, if you spell just dessert right, it actually is spelled like desert as opposed to dessert that you would eat. And so I think that immediately I was starting to think of, oh, you could play around with, in fact, these two different meanings, these two different spellings of these words that sound the same.
Well, you know, many people, when it was published and the copy editor had a question about that because she's wondered what Burdick's intention was mm-hmm. in writing Just Dessert. And I said, well, it's a pun, but it works both ways because if it's just dessert, which means merely the thing I eat at the end of the meal, it's spelled with two S's.
That's
but
right.
If it's just dessert, meaning that which you deserve, it's spelled with one. So because the woman is preparing a dessert, but it's called Just Dessert.
With one S.
With one S. The pun is on...
You're getting what you deserve.
You're getting what you deserve.
Which isn't always dessert.
So, M.T. Anderson, do you want to share a little bit of your interpretation of the mystery?
Sure. So in my version of the story, it's about a boy named Alex who's told not to go past a certain street because, you know, it's too far away from home. He goes past that street anyway. Some strange things happen to him. He has a vision of sort of a strange emptiness. And to prove that he has been in this weird, empty landscape, he brings back a pumpkin he finds at a fruit stand there. Both Alex's father and his brother stopped, gobsmacked, and stared at the glowing pumpkin. While they stared at it, Alex's mother reached out and grabbed at the plump side of the gourd. Her hand smashed through it. It was nothing but a skin, an image, as thin as foil. And inside it there was nothing but emptiness and light. The light flashed and was gone. Then the pumpkin skin lay like a burst balloon on the counter, fading to black. Alex's mother put down the knife and put her hands on her head. She turned to Alex's dad. "What are we going to do?" she asked. Doug, Alex's brother, let out a long breath as if something was really, really wrong. Alex and his family stood in the kitchen. Alex had no idea what had happened. He had no idea what to do. He knew he was going to have to tell the truth now, but he didn't know how anyone would react. They had all seen it. He was sure of that. They had seen the same light, the same emptiness that he had seen. He looked from one face to another. They just looked shocked. "I didn't," he said, but didn't get any further. "You went past Lunt Street, didn't you?" his father accused, raising his voice. "You didn't listen to us, and you went past Lunt." "Ken," Alex's mom said soothingly, "Ken, he's confused." "We were trying to protect you," said his father. "Nothing is done over there. Nothing's finished. We don't need that side of town, and you went over there, and they didn't have time to throw anything together. What have you done, huh? What have you done, Alex? Now everything's ruined."
That's M.T. Anderson reading his version of the solution to the mystery of Just Dessert. And if you want to find out what happens, you're just going to have to read the whole story. Chris Van Allsburg, you know, I wonder, the mysteries of Harris Burdick, when the book first came out, the glory in those illustrations was the fact that they are so mysterious, and they really did, as you were saying, unlock the imaginations of thousands and thousands of children, because there was no story that went along with them. There was no answer. So I wonder, do you worry that by having an official book of official published authors telling the tales, that's actually going to kill the mystery? I mean, it kind of almost feels like forcing a child to wake up from their dream into the adult-sanctioned world.
I mean, the only reservation I had is how teachers might use it in a classroom, because I didn't know if it could function if the teacher brings in the mysteries of Harris Burdick, where there are no solutions, and then she brings in the Chronicles, where we see the solutions of 14 accomplished and experienced storytellers, if this would be inspirational or kind of discouraging to younger kids. And
or that they would feel that there was somehow an authorized version of the story that was therefore right.
So I think if it's used correctly in the classroom, it's not going to be a... detract from the power of the original volume.
Mm. Actually, can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
So just something I'm interested in. So Stephen King wrote his story before this book was actually, the idea of this version of the book was compiled,
10 years ago, I think.
Did he send it to you at the time? And was that one of the things that gave you the idea for
this? And this is The House on Maple Street.
The House on Maple Street, Stephen wrote, I think about 10 years ago or maybe a little bit longer, and
at least a version of it appears in one of his short story compilations, right?
Nightmares
and Dreams and Dreamscapes.
Yes, exactly, in an anthology. And I got a letter from his agent asking if they could reproduce the image from The House on Maple Street. So he could, in his introduction to that collection, describe how his family had used the book. Because there's something so kind of appealing about a family sitting down with a book, looking at pictures, and then sitting at the table together with their pencil and paper working away. And that's evidently how the King family used it. And I thought, well, that was great. And then I had this idea of Burdick, and in a sense, Burdick and my collaboration, since I was bringing them to the attention of the public, that we were a little like Johnny Appleseed. And we weren't planting seeds that became trees, but seeds that became stories.
Chris Van Allsburg has won just about every literary award for illustrators under the sun. He is author of so many beloved children's books, including Jumanji and The Polar Express. Chris Van Allsburg, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
And M.T. Anderson, also author of numerous children's stories, including The Serpent Came to Gloucester, Jasper Dash and the Flame Pits of Delaware, and The Astonishing Life of Octavia Nothing. Such great names for books. M.T. Anderson, thank you as well.
Thank you.
The new book is The Chronicles of Harris Burdick. 14 amazing authors tell the tales. And those authors include M.T. Anderson, Sherman Alexie, and Stephen King. There's much more about the book at our website, radioboston.org.